call to order the meeting of the Washington Metro Board of Directors. Our first item on the agenda is the public comment period. And we have Raynette Anderson and Amy Myers who wish to speak. Are they? Okay.
Hello, good afternoon, Metro Board members of Washington, D.C. Metro community. Okay, we're here to speak today about fares and some concerns we have with this Metro Access services. First and foremost, we want to put down about why these fare increases may be very non-beneficial to the people that ride Metro Access. Why wouldn't they be? Well, number one, there is a very big, large part of the population in the metro area and DC that would make only so much a month from being on either SSI or SSA or DI. Most of them either make either between $300 and $400 a month tops. And the cost of living today can get very expensive. Your rent could be maybe $200 a month, maximum for electric and gas, $100, the phone, $100, and so forth. By the time all of that's paid out, the person would virtually have maybe little or nothing. And they wouldn't be able to even buy food, much more or less afford a ride on Metro Access. So, really, you're kind of doing yourself a disservice by these increases. And basically that is another thing. Originally the deal was when we talked about raising these fares 50 cents, it was until the government came through with additional funding. From our understanding and our sources, the money is either on its way or here. Now, if that's the case, we don't know why these fares would be considering being increased. And I will turn it over to Ms. Anderson for additional comments.
The only comment I have is on the regular buses. Since the fares have been raised on that, service has been lacking on the 23 and on B10. And I know that for a fact because my PCA can't even get to work on time because of the buses.
So please think long and hard before you make these decisions about fare increase, because it could mean whether business continues or it drops to a record low because ridership is dropping as a result of non-affordable for people. Okay, thank you for your time, please.
Thank you very much for your comments. We appreciate it. Those are all issues that we do try to take into consideration when we do make our fare changes, and be assured that there's not a single member on this board who ever wants to increase any fare. So, thank you. We have before us, I believe there are no other people making comments in the public comment period. We have before us two revisions of the agenda. I would refer you to the one that says revised on the top of it. It takes out the item on the Twin Brook Joint Development Agreement under other actions because there was, in fact, no need for a board action at this point, and adds the revision of committee assignments, which does add one person to our operations committee. Given those changes, are there any additions or other changes to the agenda? If not, the agenda is approved as presented to us. Minutes of October 28th, 2010. Are there additions, changes, or modifications to those minutes? If not, those minutes are approved as presented. We now have the report by the Riders Advisory Council, Mr. DiBernardo.
Good afternoon, Chairman Benjamin and members of the board. I'm pleased to present you with the Riders Advisory Council report for November 2010. As you already know, the council approved and released a draft report on WMATA governance in order to gather comments from stakeholders and members of the public on this important topic. Before we issue the final report, which is anticipated to be discussed and approved at the December Council meeting, we want to provide ample opportunity for public input. The draft report has been made available on the Riders Council's website, and the Council hosted a public meeting last night to provide an additional forum for comments. We had good and solid participation at that meeting, and we are thankful that Board Chair Peter Benjamin attended and shared his insights with us. At our November meeting, the Council approved two letters, which you have copies of, advocating policy changes to improve conditions for Metro bus riders. The first letter asks the District of Columbia to modify its street closure permitting process to include costs for alerting bus riders of route detours. The second letter asks local governments to work with Metro in identifying key bus stops that would be cleared in the event of a significant snowfall, which of course we all hope will not happen. I would like to also add my thanks to the board and the staff for their quick response to the Council's letter on the 7000 series railcar design from last month. We look forward to participating in the design process, and we appreciate that you are willing to work with the Riders Council, the Accessibility Advisory Council, and members of the public to achieve the best possible outcome. I thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your very brief and succinct report. Are there any questions for the Riders Advisory Council Chair? We do have one. Mr. Downey.
Question on the timing of your governance report. When do you think it will be finished?
We do think it will be approved at the December meeting.
Thank you.
We'll incorporate any comments from the public and present it at the December meeting. It passed unanimously, the draft passed unanimously at the November meeting. So.
Anybody else? Thank you, Mr. DiBernardo.
Thank you.
Our next item is the General Manager's report.
I'm sorry. I didn't have a question from Mr. DiBernardo, but I just have a question from his report.
Mr. Zimmerman.
The recommendations on bus, the two that were mentioned, I was just wondering what are being done with those recommendations? Are they being referred in some way?
I believe those were letters, correct, that you sent?
I'm not asking that. We've got them. So what are we doing with them? What will happen with those recommendations?
We will take a look at them and with working with BUS and get back to the committee.
I mean, obviously one of these is actually to the District of Columbia, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm just looking for some kind of response and feedback reaction right. so that they don't just sort of disappear into right. the ether. If, you know, at some point, like next month, somebody could report back and say, here's what's happening with these to us and to the RAC. I think that would be helpful.
We will do
Thank
that.
You.
Okay, Mr. Searles.
All right. Thank you. Good afternoon. First, let me thank Safety and Security Committee Chair Mort Downey for joining me Tuesday night for WMATA's first ever Champions of Safety program to recognize employees who have outstanding safety achievements. This program is one of the steps we are taking to advance a safety-first culture among WMATA's workforce. We honored nearly 100 employees during the recognition event, all of whom have played an exceptional role in keeping our passengers and employees and facilities safe. We celebrate the achievements of individuals who work in our bus, rail, and metro access departments. We also recognize employees for their safety-focused work in bus maintenance, rail transportation, track structures and systems maintenance, plant maintenance, bus planning, and rail car maintenance. I'd like to congratulate all of our rail and road champions of safety, along with those honored as rising champions of safety. And, of course, the winners of this year's bus and rail rodeos. On the weekend of November 5th through 7th, we successfully conducted significant ATC and State of Good Repair track work that closed down the eastern end of the Orange Line from Stadium Armory to New Carrollton, and also closed a stretch of track between Stadium Armory and Benning Road. I'd like to thank our customers for their patience as we perform this critical safety work. During the weekend, we made preliminary repairs to stabilize the ground, the abutment, and aerial structure outside the Chevrolet Metro Rail Station. We also took the opportunity to install new track circuits outside the Stadium Armory Metro Rail Station to comply with NTSB recommendations. In addition, over the weekend, we replaced 2,300 feet of track, 388 insulators, 856 rail ties, and 325 track fasteners. We also conducted platform repairs at the Minnesota Avenue Metro Rail Station. Our free shuttle buses carried 27,000 customers past the work zones, and extra administrative staff were on hand to assist customers. Many offices contributed to the success of the project and long hours throughout the weekend. We thank everyone who played a role. With respect to major track work, later during this meeting, you will be considering contract options for three phases of the original Red Line rehabilitation contract that you approved last year as part of the $176 million Comprehensive Infrastructure and Rehabilitation Project. If approved, the contract would include improvements to the station public address systems, installation of new closed circuit monitors and cameras, modernization of restrooms for customers and employees, and replacement of worn-out flooring as a few examples among the many enhancements that customers would see. Other benefits would include emergency call boxes that will be upgraded at 100 locations to enhance employee safety, place leaking canopy roofs, skylights, and upgrading public address systems at Brookline, Fort Totten, Tacoma, and Silver Spring Metro Rail stations, installation of ADA bumpy tiles at the DuPont Circle Metro Rail stations for sight-impaired riders. Currently under the Red Line contract, we have personnel who are repairing the crumbling platforms at Rockville Metro Rail Station and making station improvements between the Judiciary Square and Rhode Island Avenue Brentwood Metro Rail stations. Work also includes rehabilitating 11 escalators at Judiciary Square and Union Station. As you're probably aware, at the end of this month, we will be preparing to enhance the Foggy Bottom Metro Rail Station entrance, which will feature the replacement of three escalators, the installation of a new staircase, and new canopy over the station entrance. Earlier today, we updated the Board Safety and Security Committee on the condition of our escalators and elevators. I'd like to take a moment to touch on the status of our escalator safety inspections that we began November 4th. As of Monday, November 15th, we completed brake inspections of 568 escalators, 40 brakes were replaced, and 16 escalator units remain out of service for brake replacement. Another 20 are out of service for rehabilitation or major repairs. On Wednesday, November 10th, we received the final report from VTX that I requested in June as part of an escalator and elevator review program. FTX's findings, combined with our own inspections, affirm that one of the major factors affecting the state of our escalators and elevators is a result of years during which there has been a lack of adherence to our own maintenance standards. We are taking a number of steps to support our workforce in meeting the standards, including improved training, quality assurance, and improved monitoring. I want to say clearly that we have many months of hard work ahead to bring this equipment and systems up to our standards. Our action plans address these issues, and I have directed that VTX return in 6 months to evaluate our progress. We've announced the added bus and rail service we are planning to help people get to and from the region's three airports for the Thanksgiving holiday, which is the busiest travel holiday of the year. We'll be offering additional bus service trips to Dulles International Airport and Baltimore Washington International, Thurgood Marshall Airport on November 19th, 23rd, 24th, 28th, and 29th. Service operation managers and bus operators will monitor bus loads on those days to determine if and when additional trips are needed on the two routes. Those bus trips cost $6 per trip for our customers and are the most affordable way to get to the airports. On the rail side, we also will monitor travel to Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport and add trains into service should the need arise. For our smart benefits customers, I want to let you know that there are federal changes that will require us to make adjustments to Metro's smart benefits program. The first change is that on January 1st, when the monthly commuter transit benefit is scheduled to decrease from $230 to $120 per month, for riders to take full advantage of the program, the change could mean an additional cost of more than $1,300 annually. The second change is that the IRS has required us to separate customers' parking and transit benefits into distinct accounts, although customers will still only need one Smart Trip card. What this means for our customers is that they will no longer be able to use the funds interchangeably. Simply put, they will not be allowed to use parking benefits to pay for transit or vice versa. We're going to be reaching out to Smart Benefits customers to inform them about the changes, as in the National Capital Region, 285,000 employees receive transit benefits. At least 90,000 of these metro commuters receive more than $120 per month. At this time, I'd like to ask Carol Kissel to introduce our monthly employee spotlight.
Before we move ahead, we may want to make some comments on your report itself. And I, in particular, wanted to focus on the very, very last thing you talked about, which will have an enormous impact on our customers. Very large number of the people, federal employees and employees of private organizations, do receive SMART benefits. Under federal law, those SMART benefits will decrease unless the Congress takes an action by January 1st. And that will mean that many people who currently enjoy the benefit of either a tax deduction or direct subsidy from their employer will no longer be able to have that. That should affect many of our riders, will be of substantial concern to us from a financial point of view, but much more so from a financial point of view to our riders. And I think we need to do everything possible, and I know there is work ongoing to make sure people are aware of that and aware that that's not something we're doing. It's something that the Congress is doing and or failing to do and will have a substantial effect on them. The second one is timed for, I believe, the same point in time. It is an action by the IRS with their interpretation of past congressional actions saying that you cannot use your transit benefit to pay for parking. You have to have a separate parking benefit from your transit benefit, which means for whatever amount of money is left over, you got to split it between parking and riding, and you have to know in advance what it is and how much you want to split it, and once you've split it, that's it. At least for that month. You may be able to work with your employer to do it differently in the future, but that's the way it's got to stay on your Smart Trip card at least through that month, and if you get a new benefit, you can change that balance. It's going to cause an enormous amount of paperwork. It also is going to reduce flexibility and make it harder again for our passengers. Once again, it is not something that we have thought up. It's something that the federal government thought up, and we are going to live with that. Did I say that correctly, or did I miss something in there? Just a moment. Let me just ask the staff. Is that you? Okay. Mr. Linton.
I think that it's not accurate. The IRS has always stated that the separation of parking and transit have always been separate in their law, in the statute, and in the regulations. So it is not something that has, in fact, been imposed. The truth of the matter is that we were not in compliance. And so we have changed our procedures to, therefore, be in compliance with what the way the regulations have always read. So I differ on suggesting that the IRS has imposed that change on us. We have actually, and when we sought the guidance from the IRS actually said that that was always their view, and many in the industry, because I worked in that industry, had always interpreted it that way.
If I may comment on where my position came from, I believe you said exactly what I did, which is this is the IRS interpretation of the law. There are people who have different interpretations of it. So. They get to decide, right? They decide, right? Ms. Kissel, you were going to do the next step.
Yes, thank you. Corey Remy is a workforce diversity and compliance specialist in the Office of Civil Rights. She also is the mother of two police officers, one for the Metro Transit Police and one for Prince George's County. Ms. Remy is a valued member of the Civil Rights Office and can be relied upon and to provide prompt, high-quality service assisting Metro's internal and external customers. On November 2nd, Mrs. Remy was serving as a Spanish language interpreter for a customer who was enrolling in a Metro Access program. The customer suddenly became ill, had two seizures, and passed out. Ms. Remy, quickly recognizing the severity of the situation, performed CPR on site, revived the customer, and ensured that 911 was contacted immediately. During the initial shock that ensued amongst those in the immediate vicinity of the emergency situation, Ms. Remy remained calm and continued to serve as an interpreter to obtain and share the customer's medical history with emergency medical personnel, and he was able to communicate with the customer's daughter regarding the health situation of her father. Ms. Remy saved a life that day. By going above and beyond her normal duties and through her decisive action, she was able to handle a very stressful life and death situation with a calm, firm, cool head, which resulted in obviously a very good outcome. This care and concern exemplifies the way our employees act when an emergency takes place. We are extremely fortunate that she was at the right place at the right time and fortunate to have Ms. Remy as part of the Metro family. Ms. Remy, we thank you for your dedicated service to our customers, and I'd like to ask that you please join us in the center of the room to be recognized.
We now proceed to the report by the Finance and Administration Committee. Ms. Hutchins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the Finance and Administration Committee met on November 4th, and the following actions were referred to the board. The Urban Area Security Initiative grant for electronic counter measurements was recommended for approval, amending the FY 2011 capital budget to include the $351,000 in Urban Area Initiative grant funds. The program establishes a project entitled the Electronic Countermeasures, and it initiates and awards a sole source contract for purchase and installation of equipment to support the program. That, Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
This item has been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any other comments, questions?
Just also to note that these are funds that are coming to us for grant from the grant and increases our capital.
And do not require match.
And do not require match, yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Next item.
Next item is a request for approval of the proposed new FAIR policy principles as revised through the committee. And you will see the revised copy as part of this item. I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions or comments? All in favor? Mr. Graham.
Just one question.
We had talked about the distance, and I assume that that is the issue of consideration of distance travel, and I assume that is incorporated
in the equitable fares.
In the, which one is it? In
equitable fares, number 4.
Okay, so that would be, it would be understood that that would be included in number 4.
Yes, I believe that was the case.
Mr. Zimmerman.
In the past, not too distant past, we also had made a policy that we would have some regular review of fares, and that would mean we would be, you know, looking at it, and we decided at that time biennially. There's a reference to that in the second clause, whereas clause. It isn't, as far as I can see, referenced again. What is the status of that practice as a result of this resolution?
Ms. Hutchins. This item came to us because we wanted to make sure that we had made the revisions and staff would come back to us by reviewing the current fair policy, fair structure that we have, and it would be used as in implementing any other changes that might come in subsequent budgets. So it is due to the Finance Committee at some time.
So what's the answer to my question?
I believe the previous resolution stands, and our practice since that time has been biennial reviews.
And that this resolution does not change that standing.
No, it does not.
Of fair policy.
No, it does not. This does not change the review piece. It only changes the specific policy.
The content of
that's right.
Fair. Okay, thank you.
It's the criteria associated with the review. Mr. Downey.
At the Finance Committee, we discussed, and I assume we will be receiving an evaluation of the current fare structure as it relates to these principles.
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. We had not brought it forward earlier only because we really have the first quarter results, and given the next fare implementation, July was somewhat skewed, so we wanted to have some more time to analyze that. But we will be bringing it forward.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Then all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Next item.
Mr. Chairman, item C is a capital budget amendment that is modifications that are made. Capital budget for FY 2011 amends the budget from a rollover of unexpended funds from the FY 2010, which increases that budget to $713 million to $844 million. It also creates a main line number 8 switch replacement program in order to comply with the NTSB recommendations. It reprograms $1 million from one project to that mainline switch replacement and authorizes an additional 21 capital positions to implement the new switch replacement program. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
It's been moved and seconded by Ms. Stewart. Any questions or comments? Mr. Downey.
So I understand these are the obligated but unexpended Metro matters. We'll have a subsequent action with respect to unobligated and unexpended?
Yes. The projects were identified for us as to where they were moving from, and it's moving into the new FY 2011 budget.
And as Mr. Downey says, there is yet another action associated with the unobligated projects.
Right.
Any other questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Next item.
The next item is the operating budget guidance, and staff the committee moved acceptance of the 2012 operating budget guidance. The resolution has been revised per the committee request, and that the net bus or rail service reductions and adds the whole fare constant in there. It also, the resolution should reflect that this is the proposed the general manager's proposed 2012 operating budget, in where we make reference to the operating budget.
In the first result?
Yes.
So modification to it as written. And are you moving that?
I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Graham. Comments, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Next item.
Item E is the neutral host reimbursable project. Mr. Chairman, this project is part of the master lease agreement with our carrier consortium. And what this action is doing is increasing the reimbursable project for budget FY 11 through 13 by $7.2 million. And that increase provides for additional Metro staff of 40 to support the wireless communication infrastructure. And in short, what this does is it transfers funds from the consortium, not from our operating budget, and allows for in the movement of the next phase of the neutral host project. And move approval.
It has been moved. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Downey. Comments or questions?
I think it's important to note that this is part of the federal piece that we're working toward in order to make sure that we have our wireless services throughout our area, and this moves to the next stage of the project.
Mr. Downey.
And at the Finance Committee, we asked for and expect we will receive a plan as to how this will go forward, how much emphasis on additional stations versus filling the gap between the stations, but we'll have some basis to track progress as it moves.
Thank you very much, Mr. Downey.
Thank you.
And did you move this?
Yes, it was moved. And I think it was seconded.
Moved and seconded. Yes, it has. Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Chairman, the last item is an information item. As was noted during our FY 11 budget approval, that the board resolution of 2013 directed a reduction in the price of the Smart Trip card for our customers. At the July 8th meeting, staff provided an initial implementation plan. There was a great deal of discussion before the Finance Committee regarding the implementation of this price reduction for our customers. What it brought out were a series of concerns. That we learned that the price card, as we had anticipated in adoption of a budget, would be greater than indicated. We found that there might be other issues regarding both hardware and software, commodity chips, as well as the gaming issue. At the November 4th Finance Committee meeting, the board agreed and was the consensus that we postpone the price reduction as approved by the resolution, and that staff complete a comprehensive analysis, including all of those issues that we discussed in the Finance Committee. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the following. The board directs staff to present a resolution before the end of the FY 2011 budget, and that would include any changes that were recommended, and that it would be in consistence with what the Metro Board's objective of reducing the price for our Smart Trip card, including the gaming opportunities.
Do we also need to move to change our resolution on change?
I understand we do not need to have a resolution to change that. We simply are acknowledging that this action we will not be able to maintain the commitment made in the resolution, that we are simply coming back and asking that what we asked in the resolution is actually completed by the end of the FY 2011 budget.
Let me check with Ms. O'Keefe. We did act to change the price. Do we need to do something if we are at this point postponing at least through the end of this fiscal year?
Well, the board can act by motion or resolution. If you want to be completely explicit, you would include in the motion that the budget resolution is deemed modified to the extent to provide consistency with the board's motion today.
Is that an acceptable?
I will accept that language.
Mr. Chairman, a question on that last point?
Yes.
So that's effectively saying we change what we had said on the budget so that we're saying it's okay that staff hasn't complied with what they were told to do in the budget in the first place.
We're saying that at this point we are not implementing that action. That
we're reversing the position that the board took in adopting the budget.
Correct.
Okay, that's clear enough then. I will not be supporting the motion. I believe that, you know, the decision on what fares would be included the restructuring of the price of a Smart Trip card. And that was part of the consideration in thinking that it was okay to do other things like raising fares as much as we were, specifically in some cases affecting those that would particularly affect those at lower income levels, and providing incentives for the use of Smart Trip card that compensate for some of that. Removing this barrier to its purchase was part of the whole deal and part of the reason I was able to support it. So I don't agree with this action. Thank you.
I'll first. Yes, it's been moved already.
I'm going to second, though. I don't think I had a second, did I?
I think. Okay.
Okay, is there a second?
If I need to do this, I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Are there additional comments?
Mr. Chairman, I think I'd like to make the following comments. I don't think there's a disagreement in principle what Mr. Zimmerman has said. I think we were presented many alternatives, and all of them were barriers in some manner to the customer, as well as additional operating costs that we would have to be concerned with. Would we have made the decision at the time that we adopted the budget if we had had the information that we have today? I could probably say we would not, but it does not leave us in any different place as we are today. So, in principle, I think I can understand the statement that's made, but the reality is we learned that the gaming could be substantial. That would impact the budget. We also understood that there could be additional inconveniences to our customers because of the entry and exit policies that we have. So the comprehensive review that we're asking for staff is to actually do that work and to come back for the next budget cycle to keep in mind that the board's intent is to reduce the price of the Smart Trip card.
Are there any other comments? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. Does that conclude your report?
That concludes the report, Mr. Chairman.
Our report by the Joint Development and Real Estate Committee, Mr. Graham.
Thank you. We met this very morning, actually, and we had one action item, which was easements to the District of Columbia for the Metropolitan Branch Trail. The staff sought board approval to negotiate and execute an easement agreement with D.C. Department of Transportation for construction, operation, and maintenance of portions of the Metropolitan Branch Trail on Metro property near the Brookland Catholic University Station, Fort Totten, and Tacoma Metro Rail Station. On behalf of the committee, I move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Our last item, our next item is the consent items. Is there any request that any of the consent items not be a consent item?
I move to approve in block, Mr. Chairman.
It has been so moved. Is there a second? Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Under other actions, the first item has been deleted and has been replaced with revision of committee assignments. I want to welcome Mr. Acosta. I hope next time you'll be moved in towards the center with us for voting. As a principal on the board, we would like Mr. Acosta to join the Customer Service and Operations Committee, and he has agreed to do that. The action before us modifies our previous committee assignments to add Mr. Acosta. I so move. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Thank you very much, Mr. Acosta, for agreeing to that.
Report from the District of Columbia, Mr. Albert.
No reports.
WSDC, we have no report. Ms. Hudgens, NBTC, and federal government, Mr. Downey. No report. That concludes our meeting. Thank you all very much. Oops.